Welcome back, everyone, to the channel. Tonight's terrifying story is about three good friends who go out venturing for a little dip action at the ocean over at the state of Maine. Now, this particular area is very secluded and basically only known by the locals. But when they're having their fun in the ocean, just enjoying their seclusion from the outside world, they notice that they are technically not alone. There is something watching them in the water. Something massive. Something that biologists and scientists do not believe exist. Now let's get spooky. So what exactly is this place called again? Theo looked around the passenger seat to shoot me a slightly annoyed gaze as the SUV drove up the empty two-laned road, jostling slightly as the truck hit a pothole. Dude, exactly how wasted were you last night? I told you, the beach and the park have virtually the same name. Birch Point Beach and Berth Point Beach State Park, duh. I snorted back at my friend, smirking and flipping him the bird before returning to gently massaging my temples. For a few more moments, the world tilted slightly, then seemed to pass, allowing me to let out a small sigh of relief. I'm originally from New England, having been born in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. When I graduated high school, I decided that I didn't want to spend my entire life living in the same area I had been born in. And so, setting my wings, I set out to find a place I could carve out as my own. Eventually, I settled across the country in eastern Washington and started my own construction business. I made good money, and I also made plenty of new friends. But I couldn't help but miss home at times. I'd go back during the holidays to spend them with my mother, but aside from that, I never really went back. Until I got a phone call from my old pal Theo. Dude, you have seriously got to take a break from work and come stay with me and Vaughn for a week at his parents' old summer home in Owl's Head. In any other situation, especially with clients breathing down me and my employees' necks, I would have declined. But the call came just right after my girlfriend had told me she was splitting from me. So, wanting some time to unwind and get away from it, along with life in general, I left my assistant in charge and boarded a plane for Maine the very next day. And now, here I was, crumpled in the back seat of a 1986 Jeep Grand Wagoneer that Vaughn had inherited from his parents, heading for some place I had never heard of before. The throbbing feeling returned, and I let out a soft groan before putting my head into my hands. "You're 34 years old, Evan, and you just spent last night getting wasted to the gills at a rager like you're still in your early 20s. And to top it off, you're running on just 5 hours sleep. That, if you look it up in the dictionary, is the textbook definition of the word stupid." Something hard gently bumped into the top of my head, and I looked up to see Theo holding out a bottle of Powerade. I took it gratefully, uncapping it and taking a swig. "You look like crap warmed over, you know that, right?" he asked, finally letting loose with a smile of his own. The cold drink felt amazing going down my throat, driving away some of the dehydration I felt and fueling my retort. "Then I look just how I feel. Although, with the bags under your eyes, you won't need to make much of a Halloween costume this year to take your little sister trick-or-treating." Vaughn suddenly let out a loud bark of laughter from the driver's seat, causing both of us to jump slightly. "Ouch! Dude, You just got burned something spectacular, Theo. He looked away from the road long enough to shoot a grin at me. You're gonna need some aloe vera for that one. Theo rolled his eyes at the lame joke, but it caught me off guard enough that I began snickering. He was about to say something when Vaughn interrupted him. We're here. I pulled myself up slightly from the leather seat to stare out the windshield. He was right. Ahead of us lay a medium-sized parking that stretched out into a triangle. I noted with slight interest that there was only one or two other cars here. As if sensing my gaze, Vaughn spoke again. Not many people come here this early in the morning. They're down in town having breakfast or still asleep. I let out a grunt in reply as he pulled into an empty space and parked. For a few moments, the three of us simply sat in the truck, listening to the call of the birds filtering in through the closed windows as the sky became lighter, hinting that dawn was just about to break. Then Theo spoke up. Well, let's hit it, gentlemen. And with that, he unbuckled his seatbelt, pushed open the door and hopped out, slamming it shut behind him. I let out another soft groan as the sound reverberated in my head, making my ears begin ringing like I had a bad case of tinnitus. Vaughn looked around at me, a small look of concern on his face. Sure you're okay, Evan? I took a deep breath, blinking my eyes a few times before answering. Yeah, I think so. Just drank a little too much last night. My head just feels like I just got off the old tilt-a-whirl at Kenobi Lake Park. He let out a soft chuckle. Well, you kind of went a bit overboard last night, bro. His face turned back from amused to concerned. Tell you what, when we get to the beach, you could crash on a towel for a bit. Sound copacetic? I nodded, feeling thankful that out of the two of my friends, Vaughn was the one who had always looked after us. He had since we were kids. He reached over and patted me on the shoulder. Come on, before Theo gets impatient and pissy. Together, we pushed open our respective doors and stepped out. The cold breeze felt like a godsend against my brow, and I inhaled deeply, smiling at the ocean breeze which invaded my nostrils. Ah, the smell of the ocean. It invigorated me a bit, and I strode around to the back of the Jeep where Vaughn was lowering the tailgate to retrieve the bag of towels and water he had tossed in earlier. After shutting the tailgate again and letting the rear window roll back up, he pulled the key out and motioned for us to follow him. For a few minutes, we walked in peaceful silence, the only sounds heard being the birds in the trees around us and the growing crash of waves against the shore. Then the trees parted, allowing us our first glimpse of the place we had been brought to. Theo let out an awestruck laugh. Holy crap, V! You've been holding out on us. The beach looked nothing less than something you would find on the front of a postcard, which you'll send back home to make people jealous of your trip. It stretched out to either side of us in a sort of crescent moon shape, the rocky ground giving way to sand that led to the water's edge. Vast swaths of pines and fir trees encircled the entire beach, looking very much like centuries guarding a hoard of treasure, and the smell of pine needles intermingled with the ocean spray. Seagulls cried from overhead, and I turned my gaze to look out to sea. The sun was just beginning to rise at the horizon, and the dark shapes of what I realized were the Muscle Ridge Islands were framed in its glow. I let out a soft laugh of my own. Dude, this is fantastic. How the hell isn't this place more known? Vaughn began walking towards the sand, the two of us following along. It's always managed to fly just under the radar to most tourists, he called over his shoulder to me. They prefer going to the huge beaches down in York or Gungquit, and that means this place stays a small slice of paradise for the locals like me. He dropped the tote bag on the sand, reaching in and pulling out two bottles of water, which he handed to us as another grin began to spread across his face. And for the next hour or two, we have the entire place to ourselves. Theo let out a whoop at the news, one which made me wince slightly as it echoed in my head. But I couldn't help but give a grin of my own. Regardless of how I feel, this place is dope. A sudden burst of movement caused me to swing my head around, just in time to see Theo begin sprinting for the water. "Last one in is a plucked turkey," he shouted, pulling off his shirt and throwing it behind him. Vaughn shook his head and turned, giving me a slight amused smile. I let out a snort of my own. Every fish and crab in the bay is gonna think he's absolutely Jim Dandy when he hits the water and stirs up the bottom, I muttered, causing him to chuckle. You ain't joking, man. I took another swig of water before dropping the bottle on the sand. Crossing my arms over my head, I began to wrestle my shirt off. Dude, I told you when you get here you should crash on the towel for a little bit, I heard him say. I finally freed myself from my shirt, casting it to the sand next to the bottle. If I don't at least take in a dip with you guys, I'll never hear the end of it from him. I hooked a thumb at the figure which was now beginning to splash around in the shallow water like he was a little kid again. I'll just humor him with a few minutes swim, then hop out and lay on the towel for a bit. Besides, swimming in the oceans always helped me clear my head. He looked like he wanted to argue, again being the older brother type, but instead nodded before pulling his shirt off as well. Race you to the water then? He asked me. I nodded. A second later, the two of us took off. The cool wind whipped in my ears, and I vaguely heard Theo egging us on. But my gaze was focused on the shoreline, pouring all the power I could muster into my legs as I awkwardly ran in the sand. My head began to spin again, and I silently prayed that I wouldn't suddenly pass out and fall on my face. This is so freaking stupid, but no turning back now. And then I reached the water's edge. Even in the middle of summer, the Atlantic Ocean felt absolutely breathtaking in how chilly it was. Holy crap, it's cold! I involuntarily yelled out. But I kept going, running until the water reached my knees, where I launched myself forward. The cold water felt shocking as it completely enveloped me, and I couldn't help but shudder as my body slid through the water, my eyes pulled tightly shut to prevent the salt water from stinging them. My head breached the surface, and I sputtered out as I heard a disappointing cry. Dang it, Evan! Even hungover, you still whoop my butt! I pushed the hair out of my eyes and turned back to find Vaughn standing in the waist-deep water, grinning at me. Guess I still got it, was all I said. Theo slapped me on the back, congratulating me. Then he turned and began swimming around, laughing as he would dive underwater and surface a few moments later. I shook my head as my feet touched the bottom and I stood up. Another wave of the hangover hit me hard, and I closed my eyes for a moment to center myself. It was a bit hard to do with the water gently rising and falling around me in rhythm with the pounding in my head. You all right, man? I opened my eyes to see Vaughn gazing at me, even more concerned than he had been before. and this time, I didn't blame him. This truly was a stupid idea, dumbass. I swallowed before answering. I think so. I'm just gonna go wait around for a few minutes and then pop out into the towel and lay down for a bit. My friend nodded, then gestured to the pair of legs now sticking out of the water. Go on, I'll keep an eye on this numbskull to make sure he doesn't hurt himself. Nodding, I turned away and waded towards the left side of the beach, making sure to keep the point in my vision so I wouldn't accidentally wade out too far. The waves gently slapped my body, and as I drew further away from the hooting and hollering behind me, I began to feel a little better. Being in nature had always worked as a sort of natural healing salve for me, and this was no exception. I gazed down into the water, looking at the shimmering world that my legs walked through. A rather annoyed crab scuttled out of my way as I approached, raising its claws as if challenging me to a duel. I chuckled softly. Not today, buddy. I'm nowhere near in the mood. A few small fish darted about just ahead of me, before streaking between my legs and out into deeper water. The distant crash of the waves on the rocky shoreline further out completed the idyllic, peaceful scene, and I felt my pounding head lessen slightly. That was when the feeling came over me. To this very day, I can't fully describe what it was. All I know is one moment I was feeling content. The next, it was like lightning bolts had gone up my spine. The shiver that coursed through me was stronger and more noticeable than anything I had ever felt in my life, and it caused me to freeze in place. My head snapped up and I looked around me. Aside from the gently lapping waves, nothing disturbed the water around me. I shot a gaze behind me. Vaughn and Theo were still at the other end of the beach, now engaged in some sort of diving competition. Neither one of them was paying attention to me. Then what the hell was that? I wondered. Another feeling washed over me. This time, much easier to distinguish, though far less welcome. It was the feeling of being watched, being stared at. Having had to dodge more than a few sketchy people every time I had to travel to Seattle for meetings with clients, it was a feeling I knew all too well. I learned how to distinguish the difference between a pair of malevolent eyes watching me and those with, well, shall we say, more malicious intentions in mind. This feeling was firmly in the latter category. My gaze suddenly swept up towards the tree line. I remembered seeing the two other cars in the parking lot, and my mind began to conjure up the image of someone standing just inside the tree line, watching us like a scene from a horror movie. But nobody stood staring at us. Not that I could see anyways. Still, the feeling persisted, almost seemed to grow in intensity a little. I gave my head a shake. Get a grip, dude. Nobody is watching you. Nobody else is here. Wanting to take my mind off it, I instead turned and looked ahead of me, down into the water. The light-colored sand and pebbles stretched away another 15 or 20 feet. Then the bottom changed to a slightly darker color, looking a little bit covered with muck and seaweed, indicating the slope which led out to deeper water. For a moment, I simply stared at it, my head slightly tilting to the side. Something was scratching at the back of my mind very faintly. But I couldn't understand what it was. Why'd that look weird to me? Nausea suddenly slammed into me, and the dizziness returned with a vengeance. I felt bile rise in my throat, and I turned away from the spot, rushing to get out of the water. Emerging onto the beach, I raced up towards the trees, hearing Vaughn vaguely call out my name. But I was focused on one thing only, reaching the first tree and leaning against it, taking a single breath before vomiting onto the ground. For a minute, I just leaned against a tree and threw up. The pounding in my head sprang up its head, and I fought for breath against the sting of stomach acid in my mouth and throat. The world began to spin, and I thought I'd faint where I stood. "Dude, holy hell!" I turned, seeing Theo and Vaughn standing next to me. Vaughn pulled me away from the tree and gently began guiding me back towards the tote bag. "Come on, man, you need to lie down," he said. Reaching our stuff, he signaled for Theo to lay out one of the towels, then slowly eased me down to sit on it. He picked up my shirt from the sand, shaking it off and handing it to me. "Put this on and try to relax," he said before looking up at Theo. "He ain't going back in the water, bro. Last night really did a number on him." I heard Theo let out a slightly disappointed sigh. "Sure, whatever. He used to be able to hold his drink a lot better than this, man." "That's because I gave up on the party life and grew up, unlike you," I thought, but kept my mouth shut. Pulling my shirt over my head, I laid down on the towel so I could look out at the dark water. Vaughn spoke again, slightly annoyed by our friend's tone. "Look, he needs to rest. You could go back in the water if you want, but keep an eye on him." "Where the hell are you going?" Theo asked. "I'm going to take a quick hike on the trails to cool off, especially after that little quip you made about our friend." I began to close my eyes. Sleep was calling my name, and she was insistent about it this time. I heard Vaughn walk away, muttering to himself. Theo appeared in the narrow band in my vision. He looked down at me, a slight guilty expression on his face. Then he leaned down and patted my shoulder. "Feel better, bro," he said softly. I grunted in reply as he turned to run back to the water. I stared at the ocean. The feeling I'd had while waiting returned to me, this time dulled by the encroaching sleep. For a moment, I realized it almost felt like something had told me not to keep moving forward. A new feeling poked its head out, one I couldn't place, but it was just as quickly chased away. I heard Theo splashing, signaling he had re-entered the water. My eyes closed. For a small time, I laid in a sort of half-awake, half-asleep state, listening to the sounds of the gulls overhead and the splashing of my friend in the water. The rising sun felt warm against my wet skin. There was suddenly a single splash, louder than the others, almost pulling me back to the waking world. Then it was quiet, peaceful. A small smile crossed my face. The next thing I knew, I was being shaken awake. For a few moments, I attempted to resist, as I'd been in the middle of a very pleasant dream, but the shaking remained insistent and I gradually became aware of a voice calling my name. "Evan, wake up, man, please!" I let out a grunt, signaling I was awake as I rolled over onto my back. The voice came again. "Come on, buddy, you need to wake up!" I finally cracked my eyes open, jamming them shut against the blinding sun. "I'm awake," I muttered, pulling myself into a sitting position. My head still throbbed, though not as much as it had before. Something was placed into my hand, and after a moment of feeling, I realized it was a pair of sunglasses. Flipping them open and slid them on, I was finally able to open my eyes. Vaughn stood above me, looking around in almost a frantic motion. When he looked down at me, I snapped fully awake as I caught sight of the expression adorning his face. He looked beyond worried. "Dude, what is it?" I asked. Did you happen to see Theo leave the beach, or even hear him say anything about going anywhere? His question made me rise to my feet on slightly shaky legs. I looked around. The beach, aside from the two of us, was completely deserted. Nobody played in the water, and nothing moved in the woods behind us. The hell? No, I finally answered. No, I didn't. The last thing I remember was him running back to the water after you took off. I heard him splashing around and then I fell asleep. Great, Vaughn muttered, then gestured down. Well, he couldn't have gone that far. He left his shirt and shoes here. He was right. Theo's Converses and t-shirts still laid where he had dropped them. My mind began to turn faster and faster. I looked at my friend. Could he have gotten back to the Jeep for something? A look of relief suddenly flashed in his eyes. Come on, let's go quickly look. And with that, he led the way back up the trail, walking slowly so that I could keep up. The dizziness hadn't fully gone away, but at least I felt confident I wouldn't pass out now. I felt sure that we had run around the corner and see our friend rifling through the truck for something. We did leave our phones in the Jeep anyways. But as we rounded the last bend and the parking lot came into view, that hope was torn from me like a fish in a shark's mouth. The Jeep sat silently where we had parked it, the doors still locked. Shoot! Vaughn hissed as he stopped for a moment. A rustling sound suddenly came from the direction of one of the trailheads, and we looked up, half expecting to see him. But instead, a stranger walked out of the woods in hiking attire. He cast us a look as he walked to his car and got in, started the engine, and driving away. Vaughn cursed again. Come on, we need to get back to the beach and try to find him. I agreed, and the two of us half walked, half ran back to the beach. The slight annoyance I'd had towards Theo when I'd been woken up had now been replaced by a slight worry. The guy can be a complete jackass at times, and he could also be a bit self-centered, but he's my friend. We burst back out into the sunlight and looked around the empty beach. Nothing had changed since we had left. Let's check the woods around the edge of the ocean trails, then we could come back here, I said, offering a plan. He nodded, then looked at me. You good to check the right side on your own for a few minutes? I nodded, and he patted my shoulder before taking off towards the left side of the beach. Turning towards the right, I did the same. For what my waterproof watch told me, it was 10 minutes, but felt more like an eternity. I walked through the trees and along the trails, calling out Theo's name. I could hear Vaughn doing the same, the faint sound of his call drifting across the mouth of the bay. Finally, I made my way back to the beach, the worry intensifying from finding no sign of him. God, I hope he didn't do something monumentally dumb and hurt himself. Vaughn met me by the towels. I shook my head as he raised his hands to me. He let out a loud sigh as I stood next to him. I didn't find him either, he simply said, then began rubbing the back of his neck, a trademark sign he was beginning to stress out. Tell me the last thing you remember seeing of him, he asked me. I took a deep breath and spoke. Like I said, man, I remember him leaning over me after you had gone. He leaned down and told me to feel better. Then I heard him run back to the water. I heard him splashing around for a minute. Then I heard a loud splash, and then... I trailed off as something began to connect in my mind. The jigsaw pieces came together quickly, and I felt a shiver shoot up my spine as the realization hit me. My heart began to beat hard in my chest, and I felt the blood begin to drain out of my face as a wave of dread surged into me. Oh, shoot. Vaughn had caught sight of my face, and he grabbed my shoulder to steady me. What, Evan? Then what? My eyes locked with his. I heard a loud splash. And then nothing. Silence. My friend's face suddenly went as pale as mine must have looked as he realized what I was saying, and both our gazes swung towards the water. The waves lapped gently on the shore. No sign of movement came from it. He finally spoke, his voice barely above a whisper. Oh, fudge. And then the two of us began running for the water, shouting Theo's name. Neither one of us bothered to pull off our shirts. We hit the water hard. I nearly tripped as a particularly large swell smacked me in the knees, and I swung my gaze around, seeing nothing. The mental image of my friend's drowned body hovering just above the sandy bottom flashed to my mind's eye for a moment, and I pushed it away as another wave of fear rolled into me. You gotta be calm. You gotta be calm. You gotta be calm, man. A hand fell on my shoulder, and I turned, snapping myself out of my thoughts to see Vaughn beside me, his face now set in a steely determination. We gotta split up and search. He pointed to the farthest right side of the bay. You take that side and keep calling out for me every so often, whether you find him or not. I'll do the same over here. I nodded, forcing myself to stay as calm as possible as I watched him turn away, lifting his arms out of the water as he began heading towards the other side. I gazed after him for another moment, then turned and began moving in the opposite direction. My eyes, aided by the sunglasses I still had on, stared down into the water, rapidly looking to the left and the right. But I saw nothing but sand and rocks. You find anything? I heard Vaughn call out behind me. No, nothing. My eyes flickered towards the darker shade of the deeper water. He could easily have been pulled out to sea by the tide. After all, you have no idea if there's a riptide in the bay. That thought scared me more than anything. I could easily imagine Theo's corpse drifting in the dark like the body in the underwater scene from the TV show The Tower. I was beginning to chide myself again when I felt my foot collide with something. Something that half rose out of the bottom, kicking up a large cloud of silt and sand. I could tell by the feeling of it against my foot that it wasn't anything natural. My breath quickened a bit, and I forced myself to stomp down, my hands disappearing into the cloud as I felt around. My chin was touching the water, and I shot my eyes around as I felt my fingers close around it. The same odd feeling I had felt earlier returned. I still couldn't tell what it was. But with every fiber of my being on alert, it felt amplified and thoroughly unpleasant. I stood back up, pulling what I had uncovered out of the water. A small wave of confusion passed over me as I stared, watching the water drain out of it. What the hell? It was a man's shoe, one of the slip-on types you would see people wearing around aboard yachts. It clearly had been sitting at the bottom for a long time, a slimy covering of muck and algae stuck to the top, and the color had begun fading. My gaze looked down into the water to see if its twin laid at the bottom. There was nothing else there. Why didn't the person retrieve their shoe if they lost it? I shook my head suddenly. I needed the focus. Theo's life might depend on it. If he's even still alive. Vaughn called out again. Hey, what'd you find? I turned to see him looking back at me. Nothing of his, just some old shoe. Keep looking. He nodded at me and turned. I turned, giving the shoe a last look before letting it slip back before the waves. I watched it sink to the bottom, and then I moved forward again. I'd only gone another 15 feet when I heard a loud splash come from somewhere behind me. Then nothing. I called out, "Hey, you find him?" There was no answer. "Hey, Vaughn, did you find anything?" Still nothing. Another shiver suddenly rolled up my spine, and I turned, beginning to call out again. "Dude, did you find..." Vaughn was gone. For a moment, my brain short-circuited, trying to process what I was seeing. "What the F?" I whispered. My brain suddenly computed, and I realized he must have dived underwater for something. A heavy pit settled in my stomach, and as I realized he may have found our friend, and I prepared myself to see him surface carrying Theo's body. But nobody broke the gentle rolling swells. I looked at my watch, seeing that a minute had passed since he had disappeared. "Vaughn!" I called out. My voice seemed to echo off the trees in the bay itself. But nobody answered me. I called out again. "Vaughn!" Then I suddenly felt my heart begin to race again as a new wave of fear surged into me. What happened to him? I began to move towards the left, keeping in line with where I'd last seen him. The largest swell yet smacked into me as I waded as fast as I could. I suddenly imagined that there was a sharp drop-off, and then both of my friends had accidentally fallen into it, getting caught in a riptide which pulled them out the sea and to the bottom. My heart was pounding like a drum in my chest, and I was close to hyperventilating. Shoot, 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 shoot. Finally, I reached where I swore he had been and looked around. I was standing in water up to my chest, and even with the shirt on, I was beginning to shiver. Nothing moved, and I saw no sign of my friend anywhere. That was when something caught my eye beneath the waves. I turned, trying to distinguish what it was, but the swells had become a bit fiercer, distorting everything. I took a step forwards, squinting my eyes. It remained elusively out of focus, though I could tell it didn't belong, looking much brighter than the surrounding sand. Another step forwards. It became a little clearer, though still unrecognizable. Another large swell smacked into me, and I took a third step forwards. That's when the same feeling I had had earlier slammed into me like a Kenworth. The same lightning bolt shot up my spine, and I froze. I realized I had searched the same place I'd had it before as well. As much as I tried forcing myself to move forwards, it was as if some primitive part of my brain refused to allow my body to do so. Finally, I decided to quickly duck under the water to see what I had spotted. Leaving the sunglasses on, I took a deep breath and slipped beneath the waves. The salt water stung my eyes as I forced them open, the shapes distorted, but much easier to see than above. I turned to look in the direction I had, seeing it much clearer now. What the hell is that? I allowed myself to float a little closer. The object came into focus. I froze like a statue. For a moment, I wasn't able to move, my eyes locking on it, my brain trying to comprehend what it was, and also trying to refuse. The feeling I had felt again returned with a vengeance, along with a new emotion. Horror. I shot up, my head breaking the water as I sputtered it from my mouth and felt my heart thunder in my chest. My eyes widened as I slowly began to back away, locking on to what I recognized now. It was a human leg. To be more specific, it was Vaughn's leg. The tattoo wrapped around the ankle was proof of that. It laid on the bottom, and from what I saw, it ended by the upper thigh. My eyes flashed around, looking frantically at the water around me. Fear, like I had never felt, crept crashing into me in bigger and bigger waves. A shark. There's a damn shark in here, and it just killed both my friends. The thought spurred into me, taking another step backwards. As I did, the thought occurred to me to look for any pools of blood. The last thing I wanted to do was accidentally step into one. I looked back at the leg, my eyes following the calf, to the knee, to the... The leg moved. I froze again. What? For a moment, I stared, wondering if it was an involuntary twitch. Then, the leg began to thrash, kicking out hard, almost frantically. There was no way it could have been able to do that unless it was still attached to the body. My eyes again moved up to the leg towards the thigh, and suddenly felt as if the wind had been knocked out of me. Vaughn's leg disappeared into the mucky bottom of the bay. As I stared, something began to take shape. Something my eyes hadn't caught before. And I felt a new wave of horror and dread hit me as I realized what I was seeing. A line in the muck. One that seemed about 3 or 4 feet across. One that I realized had teeth poking out from either side of it. Sharp, translucent, needle-like teeth. That wasn't the thing that made me want to scream, though. Two eyes stared out at me from just above it. Ones that almost perfectly blended in with the bottom. If not for the black pupils that gazed coldly up at me. The line, the mouth opened slightly, and I felt a bit of suction, almost pulling me off my feet. I watched, petrified, as Vaughn's leg, which for a split second I saw was still attached to him, was sucked inside. The foot giving one final pathetic kick as the mouth closed over it. It was a sight that, all these months later, I still see in my nightmares. My body shook violently, and every fiber of my being screamed at me to get out of the water. But I was literally rooted to the spot, frozen in terror. I felt like a character in a horror movie. The kind you screamed at to move as the killer advanced on them and never moved. Something to my right caught my eye. A small movement. I turned, and for a moment didn't understand what I was seeing. And then I was suddenly racing towards the beach, the water maddeningly slowing me down. I felt a suction pull on my legs and a loud splash emanate from behind me. But I forced myself to fight it. The water became shallow, and as soon as it reached my knees, I began running. A strange sound suddenly reached my ears, and for a moment, my mind couldn't comprehend what it was. And then I realized. Screams. My screams. It's been almost 6 months since I tore from the water that morning. As soon as I was free from the waves, I sprinted for the parking lot, stopping only to snatch up the keys to Vaughn's Jeep. I had been delirious as I had crashed through the bushes, according to the hiker who had found me frantically trying to unlock the driver's door. I'd barely been able to speak, but when I babbled about my friends in the water, he had called the cops. When they had come, I had calmed down just enough to be able to tell them what had happened. They, of course, didn't believe me. They thought I had a mental break. They searched the beach, even bringing a diver in to check the bay. But they found nothing. No sign of Vaughn or Theo, and no monster buried in the sand and muck. Only depressions which the diver noted looked a bit unusual. The police chalked my friend's fates up to either drowning or a shark attack. For such a small town, it surprisingly didn't even make the local paper. And when Theo's girlfriend arrived when the police called her, they barely answered any of her questions. She was forced to go through the most basic procedures before being hurried out the door. And since Vaughn's parents died 3 years ago, there was nobody they could call for him. I could only assume that the people in charge of the government of Owl's Head didn't want the idea of two people dying at their secluded paradise-like beach to stain the town's reputation. Bastards. As for me, as soon as I was released, I flew straight back to Washington. I tried to get back to as normal life as possible, but it's been impossible. When I need to report to my clients in Seattle, I now video call them instead of traveling there myself. I tried one time, but as soon as my eyes spied the massive ocean stretching out away from it, I began to shake so badly that I had to pull over. I can't stand to even see the ocean anymore. Hell, I can't even stand to be near a frickin' lake, not without being reduced to a screaming, blubbering mess. I know what it was. Growing up, I had always gone to the Boston Aquarium during summer vacation with my mother. I'd wanted to be a marine biologist for a time, and I begged her to take me to see all the creatures I used to adore. And I remember staring into one particular tank, watching a monstrous-looking fish bury itself into the sand, waiting for prey to swim by so it could leap up and grab them, before swallowing them whole. One that was only about 3 feet long, 5 times smaller than the horror I saw that day. And looking at the plaque mounted on the wall beside the glass, seeing the name Stargazer. I suffer nightmares every single time I fall asleep. Nightmares of seeing my friend being eaten alive, disappearing into that mouth, one as wide as a dinner table. Nightmares of seeing those cold eyes gazing at me, eyeing me like I was the Thanksgiving turkey. The nightmares of turning to see the second one rising from the bottom, getting ready to strike at me. The few I tried to tell about what I saw that day, scientists and marine biologists, never believed me, saying that those fish could never grow to such sizes. And now, I finally decided to post what happened that day here, in a place others tell of unbelievable and horrific things that no one believes. I don't care if nobody believes me here either. I need to warn you. Warn as many people as I can. There are horrific things that prowl the ocean. Things that nobody has seen yet. Seen and lived to tell about anyways. Even if you don't believe me, please, at least be wary when you go to the beach. Be vigilant when you wade into the water to have fun with your friends or family. Because it's not just the deep ocean you should be afraid of.